Ain't it good to be in God's house tonight? I probably should have warned them. I've got a big mouth, so I've been asked by some if I needed a mic, and I've been begged by some not to use a mic. Just bear with me. We'll get each other figured out shortly. I do want to say how much I appreciate Brother Rick for having confidence in us to stand tonight behind the sacred desk. It is a privilege any time, but it's especially a privilege the first time. But now, he did brag on you all. He said that you all would listen as long as I'd preach, and you was good for about an hour and 45 minutes. So if I can hold out, we'll go for it if you're ready. No, we'll be in the book of Haggai, chapter number 2 tonight. Haggai chapter number 2, we'll read verses 1 through 9 with the help of the Lord. I do want to say, as you're looking, that I appreciate Bible Way. My family has attended here for about 3 weeks now, and to be honest, I have never been in a church more friendly and more loving in my life. So I want to say that I appreciate you all, and hey, even if you don't like us, you're fooling us pretty good, so thank you. I do believe the Lord will bless you for that, as I pastored for right at 4.5 years, and one of the things that I did notice in pastoring is not every Christian's friendly. So whenever I see a smiling face, I'm thinking they've got it. So it's good to be around Christian folks that's got something to be happy about, and you can tell they love the Lord. That is a blessing. Haggai chapter number 2, we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "In the seventh month, in 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in his place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight so thankful, Lord, and so humble. Lord, it's such a privilege to stand behind this sacred desk. It's such a privilege, and we're so honored, Lord, to be able to come into your house. But, Lord, it's such a privilege. We're so blessed, and we're so honored to be called your children. Father, we want to thank you, God, for all your many blessings, and we want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and to stand tonight. And we ask you, God, if you would, that you would touch our lips, anoint our tongue, give us words to say, give us liberty as we preach. And Father, we ask you that you would help us to never do anything within ourselves, but Father, to be led and guided by you. You know, without you, we can't do anything. So Father, we depend on you. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. We thank you for your many blessings. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and amen. So as we look in the book of Haggai, we're going to see something going on here that happens a lot in the churches. If we're honest, there are times when we all just want to give up. Sometimes I want to give up. Sometimes you want to give up. I'll be honest. I had mentioned and I talked to Brother Rick about it. And, after pastoring for a little over four years, I saw a lot of things, I witnessed a lot of things, I dealt with a lot of things that I wanted to give up. My family, even down to my children, wanted to give up. Sometimes our hearts become heavy. Sometimes our burdens become so heavy that we don't feel like going any further. Actually got a message earlier today from a person I went to school with, and their family has had a year that has just been terrible. One thing after another, sick children, issues with their homes, issues with their jobs, issues with this and that, and their family is trying to pick up and leave and go to a better place to find better employment and better homes and better times for their family. But it seems like one thing after another just leads to just discouragement and the desire to just want to give up and quit. We do that, don't we? So many times we just get over it, don't we? My brother and I have a little statement that we say to each other sometimes. Boy, it's been a rough life, ain't it? Not a rough day. You know, it's been one of them lives. It's just kind of one of those things where we look back and we get so discouraged and we get so upset that we just want to quit. We want to give up. We're done. But I believe that if we look through Haggai chapter number 2 here, you're going to find a very important message that came from God. And if I could for a little while preach on this topic, don't stop now. In chapter number 1, you'll notice that as the people of Israel went about, they'd been in Babylonian captivity and had everything that they had taken from them. Their houses were tore down. Their temple was tore down. Their lives were tore apart. And when God began to pull them out of Babylonian captivity and their lives began to get fixed, you know what they done? Of course, they started building the temple first. They started building their houses back, didn't they? They started taking care of their houses. They started building these big, fine, fancy homes themselves. And that's no problem. We all need things and we all desire a nice place, but they were worried about their houses and God's house still laid in ruins. And God began to speak to the people and he began to speak to the prophet Haggai and he began to tell them, you may want to get to work on my house. I'm not telling you that you can't take care of your own, but you may want to take care of mine too. So they didn't listen, so God began to move and he began to pour a little wrath on them and they began to see the error of their ways and they started working on his house. They said, you know, it may be time to listen. Ever been there where God began to speak and you finally decided after things got so rough, maybe it's time to listen. You know, my kids have moments like that. There's about 4 levels of my voice that once I get to level number 2 and 3, they start thinking, okay, Dad's serious. Maybe he ought to listen now. There's a term we use called dusting of the britches. Y'all ever heard of that? They know that the dusting of the britches is about to take place. So they decide about stage two or three of the volume control, it's time to listen. It's funny how that works, and that's how it works with God. God began to speak through them through struggles and through trials and begin to pour out a little wrath upon them, and they begin to build this house. And through chapter number 1, you're going to find that God was speaking to people who were doing no work. They were not serving him at all. They were doing nothing for him. And then God began to speak to the people who quit. They had been working for him, but they decided to quit. But now in chapter number 2, he moves to what we are many times, the folks that have lived for him. They've worked for him, and they're continually working for him, but they just don't know how much longer they can work for him. Ever been there? A month ago, I stood behind a desk that I had stood behind for 4 years, and I bawled my eyes out like a baby as I resigned to church. And I remember it going through my mind on the drive home, God, if you can help from ever making me pastor again, I'd appreciate that. I don't ever want to pastor. At that point, I didn't know if I ever wanted to preach again. My heart was broken. It had been ripped out. I left on good terms. Everything was fine. The church is going on. I'm moving on. In fact, I've talked to a few people from the church. I'll be honest, last Sunday night, whenever I preached over at Morrison City, we had folks from our church, from our old church, come over to Morrison City to hear me preach. I thought, man, I can't leave a church and even get rid of you. But no, but it's a blessing, and there's still a good relationship there, but it broke my heart, and I didn't want to ever feel that again. I looked back, and I saw my family crying. I saw my wife upset, and I didn't want to feel that again, and made me just want to quit. We've been dealing with battles in the church. The devil had been fighting. I knew God was done with me there, and I just wanted to quit. But God has given a very important message here. Don't stop now. Little illustration that I had read about this. Any of you ever heard of John Wesley? So there was a story that he had written in his diary that on 8 consecutive services, he had went the first Sunday and preached that morning and preached that night and was told, do not come back. The second Sunday, he went on and he preached again in both services, do not come back. Went on the third Sunday, he preached at a different church. Every time he would preach, he'd preach at different churches. Finally, the deacons told him at the last church that he preached at, if you come back, we don't like your preaching. If you come back, you'll be carried out. So what did he do? He decided, I'm going to go preach in the street. When he preached in the street, you know what they done? They had the police come and run him off. John Wesleyan probably wanted to quit. He probably just wanted to give up at that point, but instead he got just outside the city limits of town. And he stepped out in a pasture and he began to preach. And his diary, it said the best he could figure, there was 10,000 people came to hear him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times where you're going to want to quit. There's going to be times where it's not going to seem worth it. There's going to be times where your heart is broken. There's going to be times where you're going to stand and you're going to preach or you're going to teach or you're going to sing or you're going to testify or exhort the name of God in front of people that you think are hurting and you know you're hurting worse and you're going to say, I don't want to do it. But don't stop now. Don't stop now. So let's look at this for just a minute. They built luxurious houses for themselves. God's house lay in ruins. God punished them and confronted their inactivity. King Darius had been a king for 2 years, and then they begin to rebuild the temple. And as we read through chapter 2, you'll see that throughout the battle, throughout the rebuilding, Israel became very discouraged, and they want to quit. But God gave them some news. In verses 1 through 3, we're going to see the first point, don't be discouraged. God sees your effort. Don't be discouraged. God sees your effort. Now that may be good, bad, or ugly, but God sees your effort. He sees what you're putting into it. The Bible said this, in the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? God knew exactly who was working on his house. God knew exactly who was working in his house. I'm going to be honest. If you're doing something tonight here at Bible Way, or you're doing something for the Lord and you feel like it goes unnoticed, folks, the only one that matters notices it. The only one that matters sees it. I learned a long time ago, there was a preacher that told me, he said, brother, he said, when you go to pastor a church, what all do you plan on doing for the church? I said, well, I guess whatever they need me to do. He said, then you better buy you some long rubber gloves, because one of these days you may be scrubbing toilets. And you may want to make sure that you know how to run a vacuum cleaner, because you'll be cleaning it too. And I thought, no, the church is all set up. They've got that all worked out. And you know what I found over the last 4 years? I've scrubbed toilets and I've vacuumed floors and I've mopped and I've swept and I've done a lot of things that I really didn't think I would be doing. But you know what I learned from that preacher? God knows what I'm willing to do. And God knows what you're willing to do. And when you see that no one else is going to step up and do it, that's when God finds out where your heart lies. Are you going to step up and do it? God sees your effort. So don't get discouraged. God sees your effort. So let's look and see why they were so discouraged. Why would the people be discouraged? They're building the temple back. They're doing what God said. So why would they be discouraged now? What's the problem? We've got to go searching. Back in Ezra chapter number 3, starting in verse number 10. It says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites with the sons of Asaph with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sung together by the chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men, that meant they were an older generation, How many of you fellas, ladies and gentlemen of the older generation saw things and you see it now and it breaks your heart to see things the way they are now? You know, before Brother Rick had called me tonight, I was actually going to go with my family tonight in a revival up in Mountain City and play guitar when they sung. And the only reason I was excited about it is they were going to do something I haven't been a part of in a long time. They were going to a tent revival. How many tents do you see sitting out? How many times do you hear a preacher on the corner of a street preaching? How many times, I remember growing up, I sang with my family gospel music for years before I started preaching. I remember going to Arby's and having concerts. I remember over at the Hardee's over on Wilcox Drive, we'd have a singing every Tuesday night. I remember Walmarts and Kmarts having gospel singings. God forbid we do that today, because then people would be offended. Then there would be lawsuits. Uh-oh. Good grief, a couple of years ago there was a fit thrown because somebody prayed before a high school football game. It breaks our hearts when we've seen things from years before, don't it? Gets us discouraged. So it says, but many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house. These men saw the first temple. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, what happened? They wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. They begin to weep. They begin to cry out with a broken heart so bad that the people who were happy said, we got to take everybody's attention off that because these guys are brokenhearted. We want everybody to be excited, so we're going to scream and shout while they sit over and cry just to drown them out. Well, that's discouraging, ain't it? Why were they discouraged? Why were they so brokenhearted? What was going on that would break their heart? God's getting his way. His house is being rebuilt. What's the problem? Over in Zechariah chapter number 4, starting in verse number 8, it says this, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also, or shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of the small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Notice something that says. It says, and thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? You know what happened? This new temple was smaller than the old temple. The new temple had a smaller foundation. It was a small thing in comparison to the old temple. A lot of the people that was building it, they didn't see the old house. They didn't see the old temple. They were all excited. What a beautiful church. But the older ones remembered, folks, our church used to be a little bigger. Y'all remember the old temple? Y'all remember the old temple, Solomon's temple? They worked on it, and they worked on it, and they worked on it. Oh, my goodness, all the work that went into it and all the beautiful rubies and beautiful pearls and beautiful diamonds and all these things that they put into this temple to make it so beautiful. And then it was huge. I mean, it was just gigantic. And even on the dedication of the temple, they began to pray and they began to preach. And I don't know if y'all remember this story, but whenever the Holy Spirit began to roll in, it said that you couldn't even see one another for the cloud that filled the house of the Lord. Boy, now, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? I remember a few years ago, there was a cloud rolled through a church over here in Morrison City. And that morning, I remember watching my 10-year-old son stand up here in the choir and tears. He's 10 now. But just a little boy, tears started rolling down his face. And I thought, people are shouting. They're scaring him. So I walked over there. I'd just been praying with people on the altar. And I walked over and I said, buddy, you okay? He said, yeah, but daddy, I need Jesus. Boy, you talk about a cloud rolling through. You talk about a cloud moving. I just about threw him off the stage with me with him just so we could get to the altar real quick because, boy, we was ready to pray. And then just a few short months later, I was able to get down in Geraldstown and in a beautiful little pool, water flowing just beautifully off the rocks. And I began to hold my hand up in the air with another preacher brother, and we baptized that same child. Boy, you talk about a cloud filling the house. But these people remembered that. And now they see the smaller church. They see the smaller temple. They're discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God sees the effort. See, what we have to remember is God sees the time you put into serving Him. God sees how much time you put into serving Him. If you put time into it that nobody else sees, don't worry about what they see. What matters is what God sees. God sees how much care you put into it, how much pride you take with serving Him. God sees that you are doing it the right way, if you're doing it the right way. God sees that you're putting in your time, you're putting in the effort that you need to put in, you're putting in the care for the job. You know what else God sees? God sees how much love you have for serving Him. You know, I remember a few years ago, I had to be reminded of something, because my wife and I had always been like either preacher's kids or singer's kids and always traveling around and going to this place and that place. And we were just used to, you know, being kind of shifting around from church to church to church to church, never really having that settled down. We're working in a church. We have a home church. We have a base. And we got excited because we found a home church. And we got to working in the church. And you know what we forgot when we started working in the church? We got to working so much that we began to love the work more than we did the one we were working for. But you know what I believe? I believe God saw the effort. You know what He done? He blessed my family. And then He began to bless even more. And I began to realize, oh yeah, that's who I'm working for. That's why I'm working. Because He's so good. Because His love is amazing. Because His mercy endureth forever. So don't stop. Don't get discouraged. God sees your effort. God sees what you're putting into it. Here's what else the Bible says. Don't give up because God provides strength. I know you're weak. I know you're weak. That song that we sang when we were children, gosh, I wish that we would quit just throwing it off on kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Gosh, what a powerful song. There is strength given in that song. There is such strength given in that song. You know what my favorite part is? I am weak, but He is strong. You know why I like that? Because I am weak. Because I have learned, especially over the last few years, and the more I've tried to do for Him, I've learned how weak I am. The Bible says, His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, don't get down. Don't give up. God provides strength for us. Look at what verse number 4 says here in Haggai chapter number 2. See, it says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord." He called him by name. See, you believe that God don't see your effort? He called these folks by name. Zerubbabel, he says, and Joshua, he says. He calls them by name. He says, "Be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, be strong and work," he says. "Be strong and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to give you something free. I don't even have this in my notes. So this is a free one. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This is one of the most encouraging scriptures I've ever found in my life about working for the Lord. See, what we forget so many times is we're not just working for the Lord. We're working with the Lord. I love that, don't you? Because I'll be honest with you. I've owned a business, and I learned something. Some people are lazy. You know, I've worked for a business, and I saw there some people are lazy. And I don't need every employee out there. Trust me, some of the work I've done, well, I'll tell you what I've done the last couple weeks. I work for the post office, but I do some remodeling on the side. And these last couple weeks, I've been putting a roof on a house. And you know what I've noticed? My helper is not lazy at all. You know why? Because I've been putting a roof on the house by myself. I don't have a helper. I'd rather just pay me a little extra rather than paying somebody else to have to tell them what to do all the time and them not listen, because I've been there. It ain't no fun. Some people are just lazy, ain't they? But the Bible says this. I love this. Verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "For we are laborers together with God." We're working with God. I'm going to tell you, go to work with God. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to be lazy. He's not going to just do the bare minimum or the status quo. He's going to do everything necessary to get the job done. Here's the best part. He's going to carry your load sometimes. So don't get down. Don't give up. God provides strength. That's free right there. That's good, ain't it? God works with us. I like having God work with me. God knew they were tired. God knew they were weak. God knew they couldn't go on working like this. If you're tired and you're weak and you don't know how you can keep going, God sees it. And you know what he says? He uses guys like Paul to write us some beautiful, beautiful letters. And he says in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." Don't get down. Don't give up. God provides strength. There's provision in God's strength. What does he provide us with his strength? With ability. You know, I ran from God when he began to call me to preach, and I begged God, "Please don't make me do this. Please don't make me do this." And I thought I was hiding really good until one day I was talking to my mom and I said, "Mom, why is everything falling apart? Why is everything just turning to ruins in my life?" And she said, "Son, because you ain't very good at hiding that you're running from whatever it is God wants you to do." I thought I'd choke. I sat in church one night, and God began to speak to me, and I thought, yeah, it might be time. And I went ahead and I gave up the call, and I ain't going to say I've never looked back. But boy, when I looked back, I didn't like what I saw, so I just kept trucking. Might as well keep going, mind you. But God gave strength. I didn't have the ability. I could get up, and I remember singing, and I could get up in front of 1,000 people, and it never made me nervous. But if I had to speak one word, it'd go... That was about as far as it'd get. Now my wife says I'm blessed with the gift of gab and I can talk to a brick wall. I used to be very shy. That's almost weird for me to even expect now or think of anymore, because I'm not shy. I don't have that problem anymore. You know why? Because God's strength provides us ability. Whatever it is that you are doing that you don't feel like you're strong enough to keep doing, God gives strength, and his strength will provide ability, and his ability will give you the ability to do whatever it is he's called you to do. So keep going. Don't give up. God's strength gives us provision, but you know what else God's strength does? It gives us promise. There is promise in God's strength. I want you to look in verse number 4. This is one of the greatest promises you'll ever get from God. It's right there at the end. "I am with you." Boy, it don't get no better than that, does it? I felt awful lonely at times. I didn't have a friend in the world, I didn't think. But you know what? Even when I didn't feel like God was there, he still says, "I am with you." They were trying to build this thing, and the older people were looking at it saying, "Oh, this ain't nothing compared to what the older one was. This ain't nothing compared to it. It ain't going to be okay." He says, "Just keep working. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. I'm with you." Boy, what an encouragement. So don't give up. God provides strength. Then we have to look at the promise in God's strength. Look at the promise. That's the promise, but look at what else he gives us. There's perseverance in God's strength. Folks, if we keep going, if we don't give up, you know what? We're going to make it. I have never in my life liked quitting. Never. Never, 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 never like quitting. Now I'll give you a little story about somebody quitting. A little boy wanted to play football. And the coaches had no idea anything about him. So he just went out to the football field and he started playing. And that little boy went out there and he gave it everything he had. And for some reason his coach didn't have a clue. I don't even think he knew what a football looked like. Probably couldn't spell football. This little kid was skinny as a rail. He wasn't real tall. He wasn't real strong, and he put him on the offensive line. I don't know why. They liked him on the offensive line because he was strong enough to actually block, because he gave it everything he had. So they put him on the defensive line too, and this kid started making tackles in the backfield against kids twice his size. Finally, the running back got sick one day, and this little boy had been telling his dad like crazy, "Dad, I really wish they'd let me run the ball." And he had bugged his coaches. "I want to run the ball." No, that's his job. He gets to run the ball. He had bugged them coaches over and over and over again. I want to run the ball. I want to be a running back. No, that's his job. You get up there on the line where you belong. Finally, there's a practice one day, and the little boy that ran the ball didn't show up. So what'd he do? He jumps up in front. He says, "I want to run the ball today." So they let him run the ball. And then that night, the coach walks over to me and he says, "Where's he been?" I said, what do you mean, where's he been? I brought him to practice for 3 months. He said, yeah, but I didn't know he could run a ball. I said, that's because you didn't give him a shot. You know what happened the next game? He scored about an 80-yard touchdown running the ball. That little boy's sitting back there right now. Who'd have thought he could run the ball? But you know what he done? He kept going. He kept trying. He would not give up. You know what he finally done? He persevered. He made it. Folks, if we'll keep going, even when we don't feel like we've got a shot, even when we're tired and we're weak and we have no strength left in us, don't give up. Don't give up. There is strength that God gives us. Also, don't be afraid. God is in control. Verses 5 through 8 says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, God's in control. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. As many preachers have said, my God not only owns 1,000 hills, but he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Boy, that's good news, and he's got it all. Old song kids used to sing all the time, he's got the whole world in his hands. Yeah. I like it, don't you? You know why? Because sometimes I can't even handle my little world. But I know he's got the whole world in his hands. So my little problem ain't nothing to him. Don't be afraid. God's in control. Don't be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. He tells him. He says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, he said, go back and look. Look, just a few years ago, I made a covenant with you when you came out of Egypt. I made a covenant with you. He said, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. He says, I made a covenant with you that I would stick with you, so you don't need to be afraid. Boy, ain't that good? Well, preacher, I'm not an Israelite. No, you're not. You're even better. They were saved by sacrifice. They were saved by works. You know what we're saved by? The blood of Jesus Christ. He went beyond where he went for the Israelites for us. He went a little bit further, didn't he? Because he looked at us and he said, there ain't a sacrifice in the world could cover their sin. There ain't enough goats. There ain't enough bullocks. There ain't enough sheep. There ain't enough lambs. In East Tennessee, there ain't enough chickens. Ain't enough of them to ever cover their sins. But I'll tell you what there is. There's a perfect one. There's a son. There's the boy. I'm going to send the boy. So he sent the boy, didn't he? And that boy freely gave his life and shed his blood on that hill for our sins. And now we don't have to be afraid because God's in control. Don't be afraid. God's in control. God's in control of the problem. That's one of the things we need to remember. God's in control of the problem. Those disciples get on that ship that night, and Jesus goes down, and he's just sleeping. He's having himself a good nap. I don't know what he's dreaming about. Maybe he's dreaming about healing palsy, or he's dreaming about taking leprosy away or raising more people from the dead. I don't know what Jesus would dream about. But he's having him a good nap. It got a little rocky, a little bit scary, didn't it? And they lost their faith, didn't they? They got afraid. They begin to call on him, and you know what happened? Jesus came up and he had to beg and plead for those waves to stop. No, that ain't what happened. No, he commanded them, is what the Bible says. It said, peace, be still. You know what? I figured out what peace, I searched into that because it seemed simple, but I knew it had to mean more. You know what peace, be still means? Quieten down. Calm down. Chill out. He spoke. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the weather and said to chill out, and it listened. Tells me that God's in control of the problem, ain't he? You know what else he's in control of? He's in control of the process. Whatever the process that you have to go through to fix your problem is, God's in control of that process. We're going to get into just a minute just why I know that he's in control of the process. But you know what the best news is? He's in control of the problem. So it means he's in control of the process. And you know what that means ultimately? He's in control of the product. My Bible tells me that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You know what that means to me? That God's product, the product that he sees in the big picture. I don't have to be afraid because that product is working out for my best interest. It's working out for your best interest because God's in control. If God didn't have our best interest at heart, why would he send Jesus to die for us? He wants us to go to heaven. And he wants all paths in our life to direct us towards heaven. So he's in control of every path that we go down. So we don't have to be afraid because God is in control. And then finally we come to the last point. It says this in verse number 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, don't look back because God has a greater plan. Don't look back. God has a greater plan than all this. We see such a small picture. You know what we see? We see 2017 and how this year is going to pan out. Maybe some of us are looking into 2018. Maybe there's even some of us that are looking at 2020. But God sees the big picture. So don't look back. These folks kept looking back. But the old house, the old temple, it was so beautiful. It was so nice. It was so fancy. It was so big. And look what we're building. It's not as nice. It's not as fancy. It's not as big. You know what I've noticed? Sometimes if we would just simplify things and come in and glorify God, I think we'd all be better off, don't you? What kind of service would we have if our pews weren't padded and our carpet wasn't there? If we was walking on sawdust or hardwood floors and them pews were straight back. I remember straight back pews. I remember going out of a straight back pew and sitting in a folding chair and thinking, this is heaven. What if we didn't have to be so fancy and didn't have to be so spoiled? Imagine what we could do. Imagine what we could do if we relied on just the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, God forbid. See, y'all are like us. See, and now you all are Baptist. I'm ordained Free Will Baptist, but now here's the thing I've learned about Baptist and Free Will Baptist and any other denomination. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're going to the same heaven. But somehow I've noticed about any of us that say the word Baptist, we get scared of that word Holy Ghost, don't we? We get scared of that word because we don't always understand that word, Holy Ghost. You know what that Holy Ghost is? That Holy Ghost is something you better have a hold of. You better have an indwelling of because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. We don't have to look back because God has a plan. Don't look back on these things. They were discouraged by the sight of this new temple. But this scripture here encourages them. You know what I've learned with my kids playing sports? Because I've been that dad that fusses and gripes about every little detail. You know what I learn about it? When I see them at the end of a game and their heads are down, Dad, I didn't do good tonight. Why didn't you do good? How is that not good? You hit the ball. You made the tackle. You scored the touchdown. How's that not good? Yeah, but I messed up here. Who cares? Did you give it everything you got? Did you have a good time? That's all that matters. You know what? That's what God looks at, ain't it? Did you give it everything you got? Have you put everything into it that you can put into it? Hey, did you have a time? Have a good time living for me? That's all that matters. Don't worry about the product. Listen, there ain't. We're in a very large country with a lot of opportunities, but not everybody's Billy Graham. And thank God, because you know why? Billy Graham can't reach those people that are on the streets that are drug addicted and need salvation. And Billy Graham can't reach those mothers down at the Hope Clinics that don't know whether they're going to be able to keep their babies or not. Billy Graham can't reach all those people. Somebody's got to reach them. That could be you. What if that's your job? My wife and I have worried to death. What's God's next step for us? What does he want us to do? And my wife has had a burden for something for so long. She's wanting to do a clothes closet and a food pantry. So we used to have a garage in our house, and now we have a clothes closet and a food pantry. And yesterday she got a message from a lady that we had taken some food to just a few weeks ago. She got a message, and she has a teenage boy and I guess 2 or 3 year old girl. And she said, we just had to move. We don't have any money. They're going to cut our light bill off. My kids have to go to school, and they have no clothes. We don't know what we're going to do. Can you all come up with anything? in a matter of minutes. We had $250 donated to that family just by one little Facebook post asking not for donations, asking for prayer to make it happen. Let me tell you something, that's how God moves. You've got to be willing to step out there and do His work. But don't look back. Keep moving because God has a greater plan. Some of you look at Bible Way and maybe you've seen people come and you've seen people go. One of the biggest issues I dealt with as a pastor was watching people come in and watching people leave and thinking, where did they go? What happened? What did I do wrong? And I know that there's people here that it breaks your heart. Could you see them come in? You see them go. Don't look back. Don't look back. Whatever you do, do not look back because God has a greater plan. You know what? God doesn't want you to look back, but Satan, that's his desire is that you would look back. Why? Because looking back will get you discouraged. You look back and you're going to get discouraged. You look back and you're going to get distracted. Boy, if the devil can distract you from the goal where you're heading, if the devil can distract you from that, he's done his job. That's all he needs to do. See, he doesn't need you to live for him. He just don't need you to live for God. He don't care if you commit your ways to him. He don't care. The devil doesn't care if you go to church. He just wants you to be lukewarm. Go ahead. Hey, the way he looks at it, go ahead, show up to church. I want every cold Christian I can get to come to church is the way he feels. The more cold ones come in, the more they're going to dampen the power of the hot ones. He wants to get you distracted. And he wants to get you in a point where it's dangerous. Looking back can be dangerous. I like what Paul says, and I'm coming to a close. Paul says over in Philippians chapter number 3, verse 13, brethren, I count myself not. Or count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't look back, because God has a greater plan. Reach forward. Let's move forward. Don't look back. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. God has a greater plan than this. God's plan is bigger than what we think. God's plan is bigger than what we see. So I leave you with this. Don't be discouraged. God sees your effort. Don't give up because God will provide you with strength. Don't be afraid because God is in control. And don't look back because God has a greater plan. So no matter how tired you are, no matter how weak you may feel, don't stop now. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I always close out the same way. I always close out a message and a word of prayer just like I open one up. And I want to do that tonight, but I want to give you guys a challenge. Be strong. Keep fighting the fight. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Keep going. Don't stop now. Because just like the word said right there in verse number 9, the glory of this latter house is greater than the glory before. What God is wanting to do in your life is greater than what God has ever done in your life. So keep going. Don't give up. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for the wonderful words that's in your word. Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we get. We thank you for the reproof and the instruction we get. We thank you, Father, that sometimes we get in your word and it just eats us alive and it tears us all to pieces. Father, we know that we need each of these things. So, Father, we want to not only hear your word, but, Lord, we want to be doers of the word. Lord, we want to live by the word, and we want your word to hide itself in our heart, as your word says, to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. Father, help us to live by your word. Lord, again, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And amen. Amen. Amen.